This is Amarins. Welcome to episode 38. My name is Arthur, and I'm a gay American, now living in New Zealand. Today is Friday, September 7th, 2007. It's been a bit of a difficult time for us recently, and this past week, especially. Our cat Curzon was diagnosed with cancer and was slowly deteriorating, and this week we had to have him euthanized. I'm going to talk about that a bit at 3 minutes 22 seconds. I'm giving you a fair warning because I'm putting the personal back in personal journals. And so if you want to skip over it, by all means do so. The next segment is at 6 minutes and 50 seconds, and I'll talk about some things in the news during that segment, including some more about APEC. And then, of course, it's comments at 10 minutes and 49 seconds, and I'll elaborate on some of those things a bit more this week than I have. In the time ahead, I hope to be returning to more normal podcasting, both in terms of structure and also in terms of length. Just today, I upgraded my software finally so that I can record Skype conversations again. The software I used to use was only available for PC, so I had to find a new solution. And I think I just got that solved today. So hopefully in the not-too-distant future, I'll be able to start having guests again. But speaking of upgrading to Macs and whatnot, I'm certainly no Mac acolyte or apostle or anything. But there are some things I really love about Mac. And for instance, the mail application for Mac works far better than Outlook ever did. However, I haven't been able to find a decent word processor. Neither Word for Mac nor NeoOffice have a decent spell checker. As a matter of fact, they don't seem to work. And I've tried the iWork thing, but it reminds me too much of Microsoft Works, and I need something a bit more robust, I suppose you'd say. I especially have trouble with things like when I do a blog post, I like to write it in a word processing program, spell check it, and all that, and also put in the links and then just copy it and paste it into Blogger and I'm away. Well, it hasn't worked yet with any of the Mac programs that I've tried, and maybe that's a Mac thing, I don't know. But if anybody has any suggestions about software to try or ways to get around it, I would certainly love to hear it. But in the meantime, I'm still learning my way around some of these new toys and trying to get to grips with it, taking advantage of all of the power that Mac has, and getting ready to try some new and different things. And I actually talk a little bit about that towards the end of this podcast. This has been a terrible week for us. We had to have our cat Curzon euthanized earlier this week. Actually, on Tuesday was when I was first aware that it was likely to happen, and by that time I'd already finished the Tuesday podcast, fortunately for me, I think. But it was a difficult time for us because neither of us has ever had to have a companion animal euthanized before, and so it was very stressful, it was intensely emotional, it was difficult intellectually even to sort of get our heads around. It was a difficult time. But in the end, we knew it was the right thing to do, and we knew it was the necessary thing to do. Now, I've written extensively about the whole process, the day, and what led up to it, and so on my blog, amarins.blogspot.com. So you're more than welcome to have a look if you really want to know all the details. Actually, I think it's the longest blog post I've ever written, which actually probably seems a bit odd, because I didn't write so much when Sive died. But the difference there is that Sive died so suddenly and unexpectedly that I think we were in shock for several days. We, of course, had time to prepare with Curzon because he was diagnosed with cancer several weeks ago, so we knew that he had less rather than more time, and we knew that it very likely would be a slow deterioration that eventually would have to be resolved one way or another, either with him just dying or with us taking him to be euthanized. But as anybody who's ever gone through the lingering death of a loved one, whether it's a human or a companion animal, knows, having time to prepare doesn't make it any easier when that time finally comes. I mean, there's that finality, that sudden realization that's the last time you're ever going to see that loved one. So it was an incredibly difficult time for us, and it still is. I mean, we're not over it yet. But each day gets a little bit easier, and of course, puppy Jake is there to wag his tail and smile at us, or make us smile, I suppose. So that's a good thing. And despite the fact that we've had these two huge knocks in 1 year, within less than 4 months of each other, 3.5 months, I suppose, we'll move on, we'll get there. But I did need to just say a few things about it before that happens. First and foremost, I just wanted to say a big thank you to everyone who's left a message on my blog or who sent me an email. We sincerely appreciate all your kind words and thoughts. It really does help. I said when Sive died that I was really amazed at the level of support that we'd received from friends and acquaintances that essentially I only knew through the internet. And it still amazes me in some ways, but I've come to think that we humans look for connections wherever we can find them. And it doesn't matter if it's a bunch of tubes, as Ted Stevens would say. We still manage to find the human connection in everything. And I suppose that's why we listen to podcasts, why we record podcasts, why we write blogs, and why we read them. It's all part of this searching out of human connections. And I just wanted to thank each and every one of you for being connected to my life. And now it's on to some things that have been in the news lately. First up, going back actually to the previous episode, something about APEC, which is currently going on in Sydney. Now, you may recall that APEC stands for Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation, and they have their leaders' meeting, which this time is in Sydney. Now, John Howard, as the host of this particular gathering, had put climate change at the top of the meeting agenda, which is really ironic because Australia is not a signatory to the Kyoto Protocols and has done very little to promote climate change. I thought it was a really strange thing to do. But then George Bush comes to Australia, and George and John decide that the most effective way of dealing with climate change is to encourage nuclear energy. And it all started to make sense. Australia is a leading exporter of uranium. They've just signed a deal to sell some to India, to China, and to Russia, supposedly for nuclear power. And Australia is considering putting in nuclear reactors of their own. New Zealand, of course, is nuclear-free. We don't have nuclear power, and we don't have nuclear weapons. And nuclear weapons are banned from our territorial waters, which is why the U.S. suspended the ANZUS alliance. After New Zealand went nuclear-free. So the final communique is being wrestled with even as we speak, as they try to find some sort of compromise language that will essentially let them promote nuclear power without New Zealand having to say it's a good thing. I don't know ultimately what's going to come of that. I do know that our Prime Minister, Helen Clark, is really a skilled diplomat, and if anybody can find some sort of compromise language, she's likely to be able to do it. But it will be interesting to see what ends up happening. There's some people who are saying that this is a deliberate Aussie ploy because there have been tensions between Australia and New Zealand in recent weeks. I don't think that's the case. I think it has more to do with making money for Australia and selling Australian uranium. And Australia is also planning on exporting nuclear reactor technology. They've apparently developed some sort of new system that's supposedly better and safer. Yeah, well, anyway, and Bush has pledged that the U.S. will buy it. And I think that there may be other things going on there as well, but I'm going to wait until APEC has passed and maybe talk a little bit more about that next time. It's just that I thought it was really strange that they looked at climate change and all of a sudden it all becomes about nuclear power. Yeah, right. Onto something completely different. This week, just yesterday, I guess it was, Apple Computer announced their new iPods, including the iPod Touch, or whatever it's called. And amid all that hype, there was also an announcement that from October, customers at Starbucks will be able to access the iTunes Music Store without paying a Wi-Fi connection charge. So normally, it's through a Deutsche Telekom subsidiary, and you pay, and you can do what you want, and so on. Well, they won't have to do that. That is, if they live in the U.S. Apple and Starbucks have no plans to provide the service in New Zealand or Australia, which isn't surprising since we only got the iTunes Music Store here in New Zealand late last year. But, you know, no country likes being treated like an afterthought. To me, it's especially ironic when you consider that New Zealand has long been a nation of early and enthusiastic adopters of new technology. But I suppose in the end that doesn't matter when there's only about 4 million of us. Right, and now it's on to comments. Archer said, First up was Archer, who said, "Okay, I just read about your episode on podcastsoup.net, and I have to agree with Mike. I like the New Zealand accent better than the American accent, after hearing that audio about APEC. The GarageBand music was fun. I recognized much of it. Good luck with the Rugby World Cup. I know nothing about it, but wish you good luck. I had a tough time picking my vote for your new poll. I love both the piano and Whale Rider, so I had a tough time. I had a hard time, but I did vote." And I said, "I think a few New Zealanders would agree with you and Mike about the accent. I have to say that I'm afraid I didn't care for the piano at all. I've tried, but I've never been able to sit through the whole thing. But I do like Whale Rider." And I was originally thinking that I was going to say something about the movies. If you haven't been to my blog, aaronsblogspot.com, there's a poll on there about what's your favorite movie made in New Zealand. But I'm not going to say what I think about any of those movies until the voting closes, which hopefully will be Monday if I got the timing right. So there's still time for you to cast a vote before the Tuesday episode, where I'll talk about that poll a little bit anyway. Next up was Calvin, who said, "Well, it certainly sounds like New Zealand does excel in at least something. I have to admit that the audio of John Howard was basically propaganda. I know we're bad at rugby here, but there's a gay rugby team that asked me to join them. If only I could run. It's so hard after I injured my knee while saving Wonder Woman from that train accident." "I also liked your podcast about that Forever Young business. I think Australia will always look down on New Zealand. That's what larger countries do to their neighbors. But maybe I'm wrong. I remember in the 80s when in America it was all about how Japan was going to crush us economically, and the British always feel superior to the Americans. I like how you say that about the song. I've heard that years ago. What's wrong with recycling a good song, though? Isn't that what people did with folk songs for ages? Oh, and the excuse for molesting the daughters was just classic. I totally loved it. I just can't imagine how much more common this sort of thing probably was back in ages past." And I said, "Yes, New Zealand is good at a thing or two. The U.S. has more people enrolled in rugby clubs than many smaller nations combined. So it's entirely possible that one day the U.S. will be a contender in world rugby. Gay rugby is a very big deal, actually. There's even an international competition where U.S. teams have done well. I think you're right about big country, smaller country thing. I think it's a bit like the U.S. treats Canada and Mexico. Hey, I'm all for recycling songs, as long as the remake is good and not a steamy pile. But about the gay rugby thing, the international body is, I think it's called International Gay Rugby something or other. Anyway, they sponsor a biannual international rugby competition that's called the Mark Kendall Bingham Memorial Trophy. It's better known as the Bingham Cup. It's named after a gay rugby player named Mark Bingham, who was one of the heroes who rushed the cockpit of United Flight 93 on September 11th, 2001, in preventing another terrorist strike. There was a documentary that was made about gay rugby in the Bingham Cup, and I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but it is out there somewhere, so you might find it on your local video store or something if it's got a decent collection. And just a couple of other little things about the previous episode. I mentioned in passing that I'd recorded it in GarageBand, or as Nigel insists on pronouncing it, GarageBand. and he expects me to pronounce it that way, too. That's the weird part. It didn't go all that well. In some ways, I think GarageBand is too easy, because I found it really easy to accidentally clip off parts of clips, like, for example, the John Howard clip on APEC. There's actually more to it that somehow got lost, and I don't know what I did, but I did something in GarageBand. And, you know, these things happen, I guess. I'm much more confident with Audacity, which is a bit harder to use, but I've had generally better results, and so for the time being, I think I'm going to stick with it. Oh, and on the subject of podcasting, just this week I found out that Jeffrey Taylor, better known as the Gay Expat, has basically decided to shut down the Gay Expat side of things and concentrate on other projects, which means, among other things, that he's probably not going to be podcasting anymore, which I personally was sorry to hear, because his was one of the original inspirations for me to start podcasting. It was one of the earliest ones that I listened to, the Gay Expat was. That and Adam at This Boy Elroy and Archer at Archer Radio were the originals, you could say. And I always found his podcast to be fascinating, and I liked what he did with it. And it was him and Adam and Archer were basically what I had in mind when I wanted to start my own podcast. And of course, since then, my blogger buddy Calvin started his podcast, Hello Waffles, which was the final impetus for me to start my own. But I certainly wish Jeffrey well in his new adventures. I'm sure he'll do all sorts of interesting stuff. In other news, last weekend, Nigel and I picked up a digital video camera for a song. And so it's probably more likely than ever that there are going to be some videos popping up. They're almost certainly to be posted only on my blog. But when that happens, I'll obviously put a mention in the podcast as well. So if you want to see the videos, you'll know to stop by and have a look. But always do feel free to stop by my blog. You're always welcome to come and say hello, put in a cup of tea for you. It's at amarins.blogspot.com. You can leave a comment there, or you can send an email to me at amarins@yahoo.com. There's a few more days left to go in your poll, the favorite movie made in New Zealand. And that's it for this Friday edition. I'll see you again on Tuesday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye.